Hi there, you're listening to a message from Shiloh Tabernacle. Enjoy and be blessed.
Last week we talked about generosity, developing a culture of generosity. Somebody say generous. Yeah, we said that most people's hands have got a fist. It's a fist. And we're saying, loosen your hands. Loosen your hands so that you can give and you can also receive. Amen. Father, we give you the praise. We thank you, Father, Lord of glory, for the entrance of your word brings light. And as we assemble at your table this afternoon, we pray that King of Kings, you be with us, you keep us, oh Father, Lord, you reveal your word to us, oh Father. And King of Kings, that you challenge some of us here, you educate us, oh Father, that we may be more like you. We give you the praise. In Jesus' awesome name we pray. Everybody says amen. Today I want to talk about being an obedient giver. God wants you to be an obedient giver. Number one, to be an established tither. And number two, to be a regular giver. Statistics say that Christians born again, spirit-filled, statistics say that most of them give only 2.5% of their income. 2.5% of their income. That is below sea level. Even corporations out there don't give like that. Corporations have got what they call corporate social responsibility. They give a lot. They give at least 10% of their income, of their profits, towards causes that help, that alleviate issues in the community. Now, if you are a Christian, Bible-believing Christian, and your giving is still below sea level, there are issues. You are not generous, you know? You are not living out the principles of Jesus Christ, the principles of God, because God loved, and when he loved, what did he do? He gave. Our God is a giver. If we are to be disciples of God, of Jesus Christ, we have to be givers. We said giving is tied to discipleship. The spiritual temperature of a Christian can be taken by his giving. It is shown by his giving. And we said that giving is an issue of the heart. It's an issue of the heart. That's why Jesus Christ spoke more about finances than he spoke about the kingdom, because he knew that people's hearts are locked in the money. The moment you get the money right, the moment you get the ownership right, we talked about ownership here, and we talked about, you know, possession. Never confuse possession for ownership. What you have in your possession is just a possession. You are a steward. That's why you call it stewardship. There is an owner. The owner is God. That's why we say that, to prove that none of us ever leaves this world with anything. As a matter of fact, we came with nothing, and we will leave with nothing. So it doesn't matter how much you have accumulated. You think you have been accumulating it, but God has been entrusting it with you. Amen. And when the time comes, he will take you minus his things. His things will remain here, and he will redistribute them. Some of us are here. This is the truth. You want to know the truth? We accumulate stuff. You know, in fact, it's the preacher, King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived and the richest man who ever lived. He discovered that everything is just vanity. In fact, he termed it as chasing the wind. Have you ever chased the wind? You will never catch the wind. You can never catch the wind. So he said, you know, it's vanity. Somebody goes and works and toils all these years, you know, and builds empires, not knowing who will enjoy them after they have checked out. There is somebody who's going to live in those houses that you are building. And it may not even be your children. I'm building houses for my children. You don't have children. God has the children. They belong to him. So be careful. We don't confuse possession with ownership. So, we are talking about tithing and offering. This is a subject I've never taught in this church ever since we began. This is now coming to 5 years. 5 years? We've never touched this subject, but today I want us to touch it. Somebody say tithing. We went to Rwanda many years ago when Desire was born. That's about 18 years ago, 19 years ago. I'm giving away his age right now. Entered the church in Rwanda, and I taught about giving and tithing. And This was something that was alien to the Rwandans in that day and age. And all over the town, all over the city, word was going out, you know. Oh, this Muganda today is a Muganda who preached about giving in this church. And everybody was astonished. Let me tell you, people did not know how to give. And we were living in this house with their pastor. The pastor pastored guys, he pastored businessmen and businesswomen who would traverse the world, the globe, you know, doing their businesses. And this guy, the way he lived was unbecoming. And that's where we were living. I thought, what? This cannot be. I thought, these guys do not know how to give. And the church was, people didn't care about the church. We had a few benches, you know, the pulpit was not what it should be. And I had holy anger. I got into that church and began to preach about giving. You remember, Pastor Joyce? And there was this lady who was sat in the congregation. Her husband had passed away. When they crossed into Rwanda after the war, the husband died of illness. So she was a widow who was left with a lot of stuff. So in her mind, she was opposing what I was saying. She was saying, if this guy, is he even serious of what he's talking about? So she said, if he can remove that suit that he's putting on, if he can give it to somebody in this congregation, if he can give it away. It was one of my best suits given to me by Pastor Isaac Chiwewezi. Very nice suit. And I had that suit on. We didn't have anything. We didn't have much. We were living, just existing. I had that suit on, but the shoes which I had on, to put them on, I had to pad them with toilet paper before I move out, because they had big holes under them. So I am in this suit, dangerously dressed, but the shoes under are speaking another language. So this woman, in her mind, she says, if this guy can give away that suit, then I will know that he's serious with the message he's preaching. It had not, the words had not left her mind. I just removed the jacket, and there was a teacher who was sat in front of me. I said, teacher, they called them professor, whatever, in Rwanda. After this service, this suit is yours. The woman almost collapsed in her chair. She almost, they said, God, you have heard me. Oh my God, please don't kill me. Please don't kill me in here. I said, this is not a pulpit. God needs a proper pulpit. Said, you guys in your homes, how many of you just eat on any plate? The plates on which you eat are priceless. You treasure them. What about where we are receiving the word of God from? He said, we need a pulpit. This woman was the first person to stand. And she also gave a very nice table at the altar. She went in her house, removed a very powerful television, and carried it to her pastor's place because the pastor did not have a television. I mean, the woman was moved beyond measure. There were businessmen in that congregation. I said, look at the chairs on which you sit. Whatever I pointed to was done. This guy said, I'm going to Dubai on Friday. I'm going to buy all the chairs of the church. My goodness, there are about 200 chairs. People gave. They gave money that they had never given in the church. Some of them had thought that I was going to take the money, but the money was for the church. When the pastor was not in the church, when he came back and saw the offering, he almost fainted. He had never seen it. And yet these were his people in there. You know why? Because they were ignorant. The Bible says that my people perish because of ignorance. Hallelujah. We need to know the truth about giving. There is power in giving. There is power in giving. I said there is power in giving. I said there is power in giving. If I was talking about healing of bodies, the amens would be a lot in this place. But because I'm talking about the issue of money, all the amens have sunk. That is why God wants your heart. He says, where your heart is, that's where your treasure is. If your heart is in your wallet, Hallelujah. Let's move on. What is the tithe? The word tithe comes from the Hebrew word that means ten. Tithe, Meshiah. An offering of a tenth part of one's possessions. Not that word, possessions, not what he owns. Of one's possessions. This talks about both produce, people in the villages, livestock, money. It's a tenth of one's grain, one's fruit, one's animals, or money. Tithe. The tithe belongs to the Lord. Leviticus 27, verse 30. What does that say? Every tithe of the land. Let's break it down to the definition we just heard. Every tenth of the land, whether of the seed of the land or of the fruit of the trees, is whose? Is the Lord's. It is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. It belongs to God. Every 10%. You have 1 pound, God gives you a pound. How much belongs to God? 10p belongs to God. I don't know whether you have heard about this story. There is this guy who is in transit at an airport, and he's trying to connect, to make connections, but his flight is a little bit delayed, and as he's waiting, he decides to buy donuts. He buys donuts, and then after buying the donuts, he looks around for where to sit and sees a gentleman who is alone, sat alone at a table. So he joins him. He joins him, and you know, he's exasperated and he's tired and he's annoyed. He's all those, you know, what happens to you when you are at an airport and your flight is delayed. So he just puts his bag down and his jacket down, and he sits at this table. After sitting at it, he just sighs. Then he reaches out for a bag of donuts. He picks a donut. As he's eating the donut, he notices this guy whom he found at that table also reaching out for the bag of donuts. He reaches for the bag of donuts and picks a donut and begins to eat. And this guy is completely dumbfounded. He can't believe what has just happened. This man hasn't even said hello to me. How dare he reach out and take my and steal and rob me in broad daylight, taking my donut. He eats. He says, okay, I will let that go. He eats the donut. He reaches out for another one. As he reaches out for the other one, the gentleman also reaches out for another one. My God, now this guy is seething with anger. He eats it, he eats it, he eats it. So when he reaches for the third one, he pulls the bag near him. And he pulls what one? Amazingly, the other gentleman reaches out and pulls the bag to himself. He pulls out the donut and he pushes it back. Ah! What is happening here? My goodness. So, as is about, the other gentleman is about to go, he notices that there's only one donut in the bag. So he reaches for the donut in tutu, eats one, and puts one in the bag and pushes it back to the guy. My God! And says, okay, guys, why? Safe journey. This guy is now containing himself. You know, some people who annoy you and you are contained, you are literally restraining yourself from doing something dangerous. This man was restrained. Thank God he restrained himself. He didn't say anything wrong. So after the guy has gone, his plane is called for. Oh, da-da-da-da-da-da. So he reaches for his bags, you know, gets his jacket, and right there, sat on his bag, the bag of donuts that he bought at the counter. And he said, oh my God, all along, I thought that guy was stealing my donuts. Little did he know that the other guy was sharing his donuts. He was just a generous guy. You know what? All the donuts belong to God. They all belong to God. And God has given you a bag of, let's say, 10 donuts. And he's asking you to give him how many? Only one. Only one. And even the one we can't give back to him. We want all of them. We need to be like that man who was sharing. That is a tenth, a tithe, 10% of whatever God puts in your pocket, in your account, belongs to him. The Amplified says, all the tithe, the tenth part of the land, whether the seed of the land or the fruit of the tree, is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Put simply, a tenth is one's income as an offering to God. Now, the question comes that you'll hear in many circles. Should Christians pay tithe? Listen, the word is paying, not giving. When we don't give tithes, we pay tithes. Why do we pay tithes, you think? We have already tackled that a few minutes ago. Why do we pay tithes? The answer is on that verse that is still on the screen. Why do we pay the tithe? Because it belongs to God. Just like you pay taxes. You pay taxes because they belong to who? The government. How many people pay taxes here? Did you know that the government knew that if they were to give you the free will to take the money voluntarily, they would never get it? That's why they are clever and they know how to take it even before it lands on your account. They know it. Now God has got the power to do that, but he gives you free will so that you do it on your own accord. And guess what? Some of us do not do it on our own accord, and God still knows how to get it from you. He knows how to get it. We shall see later. So there's a debate that has been going around. Should Christians, you know, tithe? The debate is there in Christendom. You know, Christians are not supposed to tithe. We are in the dispensation of grace. Tithe was under the law, and we're not under the law. That was an Old Testament thing. How many people love praising here? We praise God. We go into Psalms. We go into Psalms and dig out Psalms. Oh, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord. Why don't you leave the Lord is my shepherd in the Old Testament if everything in the Old Testament is irrelevant? We know how to pick and choose which verses that we want. Some argue, of course, that, you know, the tenth is the bare minimum and God wants us to be generous and give more. I agree. Indeed, the tenth is the bare minimum. If you only give a tithe, you only pay a tithe, you haven't started giving because you have been giving back what belongs to God. Next week, we'll take it further. So don't miss. Some of you are saying, "Oh, he has told me what he's going to preach. Now I'm going to cut church." Do not cut church. Come and listen to the word of God. Amen. They say that tithing is for the Mosaic law. It came as a law. But we need to ask ourselves this question: when God made the law, was it a ceremonious law? Ceremonious laws involved sacrifices. Sacrificing lambs, sacrificing doves, and so forth in the temple. They also included the washing, ceremonial washing, and ceremonial rites. And we know, rightly so, that Jesus Christ crucified most of these at the cross. So he became the ultimate lamb, so that these days we do not kill animals to give an offering to God. But even then, he demands and says in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we need to present our bodies as living sacrifices. We are not let off the hook of sacrificing. Hallelujah. He wants your body as a living sacrifice. That's why you are not worshiping from home. You came to present your body today. You brought your body today as a living sacrifice before God, and you ought to appreciate yourself for that. However, tithing was not nailed to the cross. He only nailed to the cross the sacrificial, those ceremonial rites. Hallelujah. Even then, tithing came before the law. Before the law. Who was the first person to tithe in the Bible? Abraham Does Abraham exist after the law or before the law? Before the law. Abraham tithed when? In Genesis chapter 17 to 20, the Bible says that after he had fought that battle to go and rescue his nephew, he gave 10% of the earnings of the spoils that he got. After his return from the defeat of that name and the kings who were with him, the king of Sodom went out to meet him at the valley of Shaveh. That's the king's valley. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. Uh-huh. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram by God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And Abram gave him a tithe of some things, everything. Everything. So that's where some Christians begin to what should I tithe? Is it my gross or my net? My question is, which salary do you want the Lord to bless? You want him to bless your gross, or do you want him to bless your net? Choose. God wants you to, if the taxpayer takes from your gross, what do you think God wants from you? Answer that for yourself. I'll leave it to you to ponder. Another man who tithed in the Old Testament before the law is Jacob. Genesis 28, 20 to 22. He's running away from who? From his brother. And what happens? In verse 22 of Genesis 28, verse 20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, "If God be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I come to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a what? A full tenth." Meaning that it is possible to give a quarter, a half, an eighth. He wants a full tithe. Hallelujah. Amen. So he and like his grandfather knew the act of obedience. They obeyed and they knew, you know what? God deserves the tithe. Fast forward into the New Testament. Jesus in all his teachings never said, "Do not tithe." Matthew 23:23, he's talking to the scribes and the Pharisees, and he calls them, "Woe to you, scribes and hypocrites, for you tithe mint and dill and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others." Is Christ saying do not tithe? No. He is saying while you are at it, while you are tithing, also make sure that you are doing even the other things that matter. Amen. Okay, for those who still contend that it is the law, let's go to Jesus, Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. What does Jesus say? Interesting. "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them." God, Jesus came to magnify them. "For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until it is all accomplished." All. Somebody say all. All. Continue. "Therefore, whoever relaxes on one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of God." That's what I am trying to do right now. I want to be called in the kingdom of God. That's why I'm teaching you this. That you too may become great in the kingdom of God. For I, listen, the next verse is very interesting. Did you hear in the first verse we read where he was talking about the Pharisees tithing? Now he says, "For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of God." So these Pharisees were good at tithing. And some of us are here saying we are in dispensation of grace. Jesus Christ is the one speaking, the grace, the embodiment of grace. He's saying, if you are reluctant in any of the list of these, there's trouble. So we cannot stand here and not teach you this. You cannot relax. You cannot relax in your giving. You cannot relax. You cannot. In the other, in another portion of scripture in Mark chapter 12, 17, he says, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Give the chancellor what belongs to him. Give the queen what belongs to her. And to God the things that are God's. What did we say about the tithe? It belongs to God. So while we are giving the chancellor what belongs to him, we need to be proficient at giving God what belongs to him. Hallelujah. Yes, I came. When I was coming, I knew that the amens are going to be scarce. So let's go to the gist of the matter as we finish. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. That's a scripture that we all quote quite often. Every Christian will know that. When time of giving, that's what we will quote. Malachi 3. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O children of Jacob, are not consumed. For the days, from the days of your fathers, you have turned aside from my statutes. Statutes, something prescribed. A statute is something that is prescribed. A prescription, a task, an assignment. And you have not kept them. So what is he saying? He's saying, return to me. God wants somebody to return to him, and I will return to you. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you say, how shall we return? How? I'm glad you asked. Then God says, will man rob God? Can you imagine Adam robbing Elohim? Can you imagine that? Man robbing God. Can you rob God? You think you can rob God? Yet you are robbing me. The word rob means to take away something by force without the consent of the owner. So who is the owner of everything? Now when he says we are robbing him, what is he saying? We are taking without his consent by force things that belong to him. How have we robbed you, they ask? In your tithes and offerings, he answers. In your tithes, you see how it differentiates them. Their tithes and their offerings. Tithes belong to him. An offering is a free will giving. He says, let every man give according to what he wishes in his own heart. We do not cajole you to give what you have not, you know, purposed in your own heart. But for the tithe of the Lord, I will challenge you to do that because it belongs to him. Hallelujah. Amen. You are cursed with a curse. That word there, curse, means that, you know what? If you're not giving, if you're not giving a tithe, if you're not contributing, if you're not giving an offering, there are some blessings that are withheld from you. Why? For you are robbing me. The whole nation, Israel was a robber. I refuse to be a robber. Continue as we finish. Bring the what? The full tithe. That word has come again. Full. Somebody say full. How many wants full blessings? I want full blessings. Now listen. We do not give so that we may receive. No. This is not lottery. No. It's not lottery. That's not our main aim of giving. Our main aim of giving is we give, number one, because we are obedient. That's what we said, obedient giving. We obey when he says, bring the full tithe into my house. Amen? And we give an offering because of love, because we know that it is he who has given us the power to make wealth, according to Deuteronomy 28:18. It is he who gives you the power to make wealth, not your intellect, not your education, not your smartness. It is him. Never forget that. Hallelujah. So he says, bring the full tithe into the house, into my house. Why does he need the tithe? That there may be food in my house. In those days, the priests and the Levites did not work. So they lived on the tithe. The tithe was to take care of the pastors, of the Levites, and also take care of the temple. Here we are in the 21st century. What does the tithe do? The tithe keeps these lights on. The tithe keeps this rent, those doors open. Much as you may say the final benediction and you walk out of this place and go into the world, you need to know that there are bills to be paid in this place. You need to know that by now. I want to, come on, applaud yourself. Applaud yourself. Applaud yourself. You have been faithful in your giving, but some of us have not been giving. Some of us have been robbing. And today I have the anointing to arrest every robber in this place. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is reality. Can we talk reality, guys? We have been sat here for how many hours now? But the meters are running. And God is depending on you to give, to bring the full tithe in his house. So there may be food in his house. There may be electricity. The doors may be open. Some of us have never thought in that kind of mode. We have never thought like that. We think other. We never even give thought to that. But we need to think in that kind of mold. What happens when we leave this place? What happens when winter comes? Where do we get the gas from? Where do we get the electricity from? What happens? How are the doors opened? If I'm not participating, then I need to participate now. I need to bring the full tithe in the house of God so that there may be food, so that there may be electricity, so that all these things may be taken care of. The temple of the Most High should be taken care of. Hallelujah. And then God takes it to another level. He challenges them. And then he says, and thereby put me to a test. This is the only place in scripture where God asks human beings to test him. Because he knows what is capable of doing the moment you are faithful in tithing. There are testimonies in this place. There are testimonies in this place about tithing. Amen. Can I hear some testimonies in this place? Some people who can testify. Can you stand and testify just right now in a few minutes?
Praise God. 3 weeks ago, I knew I would not be in church for 2 weeks.
Yes.
So I brought in my tithe and my contributions. And a week ago, I needed a car badly. Mm.
Was that for pleasure or?
No, for business.
Okay.
To do Uber. Mm-hmm. And on Thursday, can I?
Yeah.
Thursday, I got my phone. I was at work where I do part time. I typed in Google, I need a car for Uber, but I have a bad credit. Mm-hmm. So I sent. After a minute, I got like 10 companies or 10 providers who are willing to give me money. Mm-hmm. So it was up to me to choose which one.
Mm.
And I clicked on Zuto. I don't know if you know it. You can try it.
Never heard it.
It is just for the cars. Mm. And they called me there and then. They said, we have seen your application. And I told the guy, you know, as you have seen it, my credit has been really bad. And I've tried with Toyota and they turned me down. So I don't know if this will affect my application. He said, don't worry, Catherine. It is best to try before we say no. So that was a Thursday. Friday morning, they called me and they said they found a provider, a lender.
Wow.
I asked for 13,000 because that was the car I saw in Toyota. Mm. And he said, we have cars as well, we have dealers, so we look for a car for you. Mm-hmm. If you like it, we pay. Mm-hmm. The first one went within 5 minutes before I made up my decision because I had to call somebody to ask, what do you think? Mm. It went. Mm. The second one went. Mm. The cars were sold so quick. So I was so disappointed because I thought it is done. Mm. But within 10 minutes, he called me back and he said, Catherine, there is a car which has only 4,000 miles. I said, is it really? is it okay? Does it worthy to be on the road? Because it is too small with the mileage. He said, yes, we know the dealer. And that was Friday. On Saturday, I picked up the car.
Wow. After how long have you been waiting for a car?
I got my license in December the 18th to drive Uber. So I've been trying since December. But this happened when I said I have to bring my tithe. At this time, I've been bringing my tithe, but putting it in a basket. This time I said, I'm going to bring it to pastor. So I gave it to pastor. I said, I'm not going to be around, but this is my tithe. You know what he did? He sent me a text. This is very important. He said, I will not rest until you get a car. So that was 2 weeks ago. So it is the text which made me try to go into Google to find somebody. Because I read it again, and I said, pastor said he will not rest until I get a car. And that's when I got the car.
Amen. You hear that? Now, you do not have to come to church to give. We live in the first world. You can give online. She was not going to be here. That did not stop her from giving her tithe or being obedient to the law, to God's word. Give online. Transfer to their bank, the church account. Take God's tithe out of the way. Do not be tempted. There are standing order forms here. Some people give by standing order in this place. If you didn't know, before they even touch the money, God's money is out. Somebody say amen. And he says, test me. Prove me. The other Bible says, try it, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open the windows of heaven for you. Does heaven have windows? Yes, it has windows. It has windows. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 11, when the floods were coming, what does the Bible say? The Bible says that the fountains of the earth began to give water, and what happened? The windows of heaven were opened and the floods came. In Genesis chapter 8 verse 2, the Bible says that after God had destroyed everything that he wanted to destroy, what did he do? He closed the windows of heaven and the floods were no more. So in those days there were floods of judgment, but he's saying in Malachi chapter 3 that the moment you are faithful in the tithe, guess what? I will go back to the windows of heaven and open them up and release floodgates. This time I will release floods of blessings. There's a dam that has been waiting. It's just waiting for you to activate it. You activate it by your giving. Blessings are activated by our giving. You have got the key. You have the key. You have the key. Jesus Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, he said, the measure with which you give, the measure, this is Jesus Christ himself, the measure with which you give will determine the measure with which you will receive. So who holds the key? If he says, if you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. So he says, prove me and see whether I will not open, number one, the windows of heaven, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and do what? And pour. Pour. Somebody who pours is not pouring sparingly. He's pouring. I need the pouring. I need an outpouring of the blessings, that there will be no room for me to place it. My goodness, your house is going to be too small. Let's continue and finish. I will prevent the pests from devouring your crops. In other words, he said, the other version says, I will rebuke the devourer. I will speak the devourer. Like I said earlier, if you do not give out of your own will, the tithe, God knows how to take it away from you.
Thank you for listening to this sermon, and I pray you've been blessed. For more sermons and information, please be sure to check out our website at www.shilotabernacle.org.